This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, your host. Joining me to discuss all matters Seagulls, Brighton away. Oof. The Alex Higgins of the podcast, Mr. Phil Shaw, welcome.
Hello. I was going to say something bad there, but I won't now. I was going to say, does that mean that I've resorted to the drink there to get over that game?
I think more than that. I was referring to Alex Higgins and his pomp. 70s, 80s, early 80s.
Consummate showman.
Yeah, in his pomp, he had a pint as he was sitting down between frames.
With a cigarette.
And cigarettes, yes.
And vodka and orange as well, for a bit of vitamin C. As a kid, a very young kid, he was a bit of a hero. Very much influenced how I play pool and snooker.
But pissed.
Well, yes. Also joining us, the Steve Davis of the podcast.
Oh, Mr. thanks. Chris, cheers for that. Steve Davis does DJ, to be fair.
Well, he does. That's why, hence the reference. And the fact that he was a multiple world champion, not like two-time Higgins.
Thanks, I think. Hello.
So, Well, he was a
thorn. Which snooker player are you claiming to be?
Well, I looked at Higgins as the Aston Villa of the snooker world, because they obviously won the European Cup in 82 when Higgins won the World Championship when he beat Ray Reardon in a final. That was my first ever bet. I bet 50 pence on it with my stepdad and I won. But also, I thought Steve Davis, very much like Liverpool at the time, just won all the fucking time.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Although John Parrott was the Scouser. But anyway, that's enough of ancient snooker history. Sponsoring the show, NordVPN. With NordVPN, you can switch your IP address to wherever you want to be in the world. So it also helps you access ways of watching those 3 o'clock Saturday games. They subscribe to other packages around the world by resetting your address. Also, the underlining thing is it protects your online browsing and safety. And NordVPN are giving My Old Man Said listeners a special deal, which, as well as big savings, you do get 4 months free as well, plus a 30-day money-back guarantee to try it out. One account can service 6 devices as well. So do check it out at nordvpn.com/MOMS. Moms. Let's get on with more recent times with Aston Villa. This is going to be a lean and mean show. We've just belatedly put out the last main show. So get all your waffle in that episode. This one will be lean and mean. And we'll start off with some Villa news. We don't know how long yet, but Morgan Rodgers limped off against Brighton. Ooh, I wouldn't, if I was a betting man, would you? Well, I don't think I would think he would be back in time for Olympiacos, but he needs to be, doesn't he?
He needs to be.
Yep. All hands on deck for that one. Alex Moreno back in the squad, managed to get on at the end of that game against Brighton. Zaniola wasn't there to be seen, but hopefully
he'll be back. He wasn't involved, yeah, which is weird.
He felt a pain, is what it was, Emery said, but what is a pain? He's a pain.
Fucking how he feels after watching that.
Yeah. Martinez and Tielemans, I think Martinez will definitely be back, surely. He'll be back because the 1,600 Villa fans flying, if they found out in advance that Martinez isn't there, I think they'll be not jumping on board for that trip. But Tillemans back would be a huge boost, actually, because suddenly it allows Emery to tweak things in game and change things a bit. We're a bit limited without Tillemans just because there's not many, we haven't got many options really.
Especially naturally sort of central players.
Yeah.
And one who can obviously play anywhere across the middle, really.
Yeah. So fingers crossed, prayers, etc., that both Martinez and Tillemans are fit.
Well, if not for Olympiacos and for the bloody last couple of games as well, we're going to need them.
I'm not even thinking that far ahead, but I'm just thinking about Olympiacos. In the other leg, Fiorentina managed a late, late winner against Bruges to set them up nicely in the away leg. That's more of a traditional two-legger, isn't it? Fiorentina will park the fucking bus and do the Italian thing away from home, and it's up to Bruges to force the issue there.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, Villa are going to Athens, and they've got to set fire to that stadium and show something. But we'll expect Emery to, I think, do a very methodical job in terms of trying to turn that tie around. Under-21s lost their playoff, Premier League playoff two against Spurs, went into extra time. They lost 4-3. Hopefully that's not a precursor for a Spurs miracle in the Premier League and them snatching Champions League football. But I think this the Spursy thing, you grow into it, don't you? The youth team probably don't have it in their DNA, but as they get older playing for Spurs, the more you play for Spurs, the more you get Spursy. That's how I'm seeing this.
Because their youth team are top, they finished top of Premier League too, so
yeah,
definitely haven't got it in them yet.
In terms of the Aston Villa women's team, Carla Ward, the manager, has actually stepped down, or she will be stepping down at the end of the season. The official line is to spend more time with her daughter, but I don't know, would she be stepping down now if they had followed up the previous season where they finished fifth?
I don't know, maybe she just thinks she's taken the quote-unquote project as far as she can right now.
Yeah, but I think if they had a great season this year, let's say if they built on what they did last season, I think she'd still be hunky-dory and cracking on with it, but
maybe.
But now when you finish seventh, it's like to get that team up again. And to add to it, I don't know, they've lost a lot of momentum in terms of, you know, over a season. I'm not talking about a few weeks or here and there. It's lost the momentum of last season, put it that way. But they will finish seventh. There's one game left, but there's 4 points off Spurs and they're 4 points above Everton. Right, 3 points. Point number one, Jens Lehmann. Remember him? Did he get sent off?
He got sent off in Arsenal's Champions
Against
League final.
Barcelona. Yeah, I always remember that. I always felt it was a bit, I was rooting for Arsenal then, and that was when they had a really good team as well.
Yeah, they weren't as unlikable as they are now.
Yeah, that was when they played total football and they were suddenly humstrung when he got sent off. It was, you know, you can't really beat Barcelona with 10 men. I mean, it's hard to beat him with 11. Anyway, he has completed. He's sneaky old Jens has swooped in there, picked up the trademark for the Invincibles. Used, obviously, the Invincibles is the tag used for Arsenal's Premier League winning season of 2003/04. It's the 20th anniversary, and they dropped the ball there, Arsenal, because now Jens Lehmann controls everything. There is intention of an overseas tour, probably ex-players, documentary, and then a match against the Manchester United legends side is also a possibility, but he won't be filling his own pockets. It's destined to go to the ex-players or the charity as well.
Yeah, savvy buy for only 30k.
Yeah, he must have trademarked it for pretty much everything and for quite a long time as well. Point number two. This is an interesting one. Aston Villa. We should have put this in Villa News. Hey ho. Villa have reportedly asked for an increase in the kind of PSR limits.
Sorry.
Which allows losses over 3 years, which Aston Villa want an extra 25 million put on top of it. So it's 135 million.
What a fucking brass neck. I mean, I'm sorry, but as well as not as being foreshadowing of bad news, I mean, it's like, oh, can we get an increase? Yeah, what were you thinking? What sort of increase? Just exactly to the amount that we're over, please, thanks.
Yeah. Everton and Nottingham Forest have obviously both been deducted points for breaching the limit. So a change in the final season of the PSR rules. Bit of a controversial move, it would be. Villa will formally raise this issue. This has got to be a heckism. They'll raise the issue in the annual meeting next month and a vote will take place. It'll be interesting to see how that one crumbles.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me. Do you remember that time Donald Trump stood up and told people to drink bleach? It's sort of the same sort of mentality. He's like, has anybody ever tried this? You know, just ask them. Ask them, is it okay? Yeah, go for it, Chris.
Can we do this?
Yeah, geez. Well, if he pulls it off, then fair play to him.
Bleach all round.
Yeah. Point number three, Mark Clattenburg has resigned from his, I still don't know, was it referee consultation role at Nottingham Forest?
Some nonsense, yeah.
Perform my services under the consultancy agreement in good faith to the best of my abilities in the hope of using my extensive expertise or experience as a match official to help Nottingham Forest understand how decisions in relation to key match incidents are made amid the workings of VAR. Well, nobody knows how how they are made. Nobody understands it. So he had an easy job there. It's interesting, the same owner of Forest is obviously the Olympiacos owner, and they have historically so much issues with match officials. And there's been so much talk of like corruption there, and they've accused the Greek FA or Football Federation of corruption, and to the point that Athens derbies had to have a neutral referee from UEFA, and now UEFA have withdrawn their officials because they've just had enough of the kind of fighting, infighting. So he seems the owner of Forest to be obsessed with the whole refereeing situation.
Yeah, I bet he hires that referee from Villa Park against Olympiacos, and he'll have him hired up straight away.
Yeah, well, yeah, he did a great job for him. That's probably who's replacing Clattenburg. Right, to this game. This won't take long, surely. First question, why rest Torres for Olympiacos to play in this shit show? I do not know. For me, that was a big no-no. I'll still bang on about that. I think we should have been playing our best possible 11, and that would have included Torres against Olympiacos. So if he's not up to it, then this was obviously a game to shine, but
yeah,
unfortunately no Martinez. Carlos came in for cash, so Konsa reverted to right back. What would you have done? Any changes that you would have personally have done, bearing in mind the task in hand against Olympiacos and the fact that we're 7 points clear of Spurs and it was unlikely Spurs were going to get much joy at Anfield?
Having seen how Romelu Lukaku dealt with Lewis Dunk every time he's played against him, Lewis Dunk doesn't like getting shoved about a bit. So easy thing to do there is either just to put John Duran on him, do something physical, shake up their back four, because what you had was two sides that play exactly the same kind of football, just like which one's going to play it better on the day. It was not a feast for the eyes.
Chris, any changes that you would have made? I mean, there's obviously not much scope.
I think
for
I predicted before that pretty much the team as was, but I actually agree with Phil. I think if you were going to, in the spirit of this point in the season, you've earned the right to have a 7-point gap, et cetera, et cetera. You've gotten the right to make a few changes in this game. This is the game you can do it in between two big semi-final matches.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Torres should have played against Olympiacos and then piss around, because obviously Chambers isn't playing in the European games. You could have even had him at right back from the start if you wanted to just to rest up a little bit.
I mean, I think he would have got absolutely roasted.
Controversial, but
I do agree. And even with Mamie Moreno, you could have said, you know what, I just want to give you 45 minutes here just to get you in and moving. Same with Geranio, say, I want to get you through. You know, I don't want Ollie to play a full 90. I just want you to play 45. And I think people would probably understand the merit of that, especially if you come out after the game and say, listen, this is the situation. But they didn't.
Yeah. And anyway, we just got a lame ass performance that didn't really help us at all when you consider they need to be on their A game in Athens.
It was nothingy, wasn't it? And maybe Emery thought that, you know what, this is the game to, if I can afford to, I mean, you don't really want to say it, but take our foot off the gas a bit and try and manage it, because that's what the performance looked like without going too specific into anything. It was like a team who didn't really want to overextend themselves, and we've seen it a few times, haven't we, in the season?
Even De Zerbi said this wasn't the usual Aston Villa.
No. So, I mean, we're normally really competitive against them. Was it won the last five against them before?
Yeah.
I mean, especially whenever Rodgers went off with this tweaked hamstring. I mean, when he went off, there was just this big gaping hole behind Watkins. There was absolutely nobody in the number 10 or even like an advanced number 8. There was nobody in that position at all. So that's where the lack of any chances came from.
I mean, this is one of those games. I mean, we've mentioned it recently, where you just wish you had a few more. I think it was in the preview for this game, a few more of our youngsters a bit more closer to first team action, as enabled to, because it would have been perfect to drop a couple in here, freshen it up. Twofold, you might add a bit of adrenaline and a bit of enthusiasm to a bit of a jaded team. B, obviously free some people up to get them a bit fresher for the match in hand on Thursday night. And just, it's a bit more of a natural progression, but I don't think we're there yet. Obviously, we sold off a bunch, but I don't think they were anything that we're going to miss majorly.
No, I'd agree with that. So would you have played Rogbenham from the start? I mean, you could have. You know, he obviously played Ajax when he started and looked. It was a difficult night for him.
He's one of those that we could have sold. I think hopefully the next batch that come through, and we have made a lot of investment in the age bracket, which is maybe should start popping up next season and onwards.
Hopefully.
But you'd like to see a couple more options, because that just helps in terms of the squad. It's the only person that would have got game time that we obviously got offloaded was Den Donker. He would have been very useful over the last few weeks.
Yeah. I agree with that. And even, dare I say, it's someone like, if he was fit, to just to come in for the odd game here and there, someone like a Traore, just to ease a bit of the burden on Bailey and sort of a pretty patchy form of Diaby as well, just to have that variety in your rotation.
Yeah, because people talk about, oh, we've got a small squad. Well, we haven't. It's just that we've injuries to key men. We've got a strong match day squad, but we've actually offloaded players as well, which we were perhaps stronger. Although saying that we got Rodgers in, we've obviously got a few more long-term people in. But Den Donker, Traore would have got game time in the last few weeks, certainly. And that might have helped just ease the load across the board.
Yeah, it would have certainly helped shape-wise, Den Donker, I'm thinking. You could have dropped him deeper and had Louise and McGinn pushing into their more natural positions instead of where they are.
Yeah. Who would have thought we'd have regretted offloading Den Donker? I mean, he would have got the game time.
Bring back the donk.
Bring back the donk. Bring back Big Daddy. He would have got the game time, I think, perhaps. That would have made his decision to stay. In retrospect, he would have thought, well, actually, not a bad decision for the Euros. I got enough game time. I think he would have got enough game time.
He certainly got more than he's got at Napoli. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yes, he's not the greatest player in the world, but
he's experienced.
It would have helped our better players be a bit more fresher and in a key position as well, which...
And with a back
it's a shame. But anyway, it's all hypothetical, isn't it? We are where we are. But that thing about crying about, oh, we haven't got a threadbare squad. We've made decisions here to have the squad that we're at. It's not as if we're poor old Aston Villa. We're asking to raise the PSR levels. So it's not as if you can afford much more, because we've spent a lot to get the squad where it is. And this squad's a decent squad. First 11's still good, isn't it?
I think that first team on paper, you go, yeah, all right. I mean, with the exception of probably Olsen, on paper, that's a team that's got results against some of the best teams in Europe.
Yeah, and Brighton, their first 11's ravaged, so should have won. Should have been enough.
What we haven't been able to do, of course, is because we've had all the extra games, is we haven't been able to rotate like we did earlier in the season. That's kind of what's caught up with us, the fact that a lot of guys have had a lot of minutes.
It's more attitude, isn't it, as well? And it's like a mental tiredness as well as limbs. But then again, if you're going to be a successful team, you've got to be playing 50 games a season. So you got to get used to it. And this was always the good thing about being in the Europa Conference League, is it got down pat the demands of what... And it gave us a trial run. Like, for example, Newcastle didn't really have it. They were straight into the Champions League.
Yep.
And learnt the lesson on the job, where we've had a trial run. I'm hoping that we'll still get through the semi-final. I mean, it would be a magnificent achievement if we do.
Could be the thing that just pushes you over the line in the final two games as well. Just gives you that little bit of spark to just kind of do it on adrenaline.
And you'd be super focused for the final. I mean, I couldn't imagine this Villa team turning up to the final and then making excuses that they're tired. Because if you get through Lille and then Olympiacos, it's like, well, it's about time you fucking turned up and gave us a performance, because as supporters, we've been going through hell and back, when we know there's perhaps more in this.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Team. But yeah, not really much to talk about the first half, really, was there?
No, there was a shout for, we'll get on the soft penalties later on, but there was a shout for a penalty for Rodgers in the first half. And when you looked at it, it was one of those and you say, oh, I'd like another look at that later on. Then you look at it and say, ah, it's probably not enough of that for a penalty. At that stage, you were thinking. And other than that, it was just really two teams playing exactly the same game plan. And it was which one would sort of have a shot at the end of all their nice, intricate, pretty passing. And the teams that had shots were Brighton, because Villa were in positions to have a few shots. I'm thinking of Watkins one. He took a touch that was probably one of the best touches he'd ever taken in his career, put him clean through, and then he decided to cut back inside and ran into trouble.
Get it out of your feet.
Bit of that recently. It's kind of yin and yang, isn't it? He scored some crackers. Yep.
He's got no reason to not be confident, has he?
Yeah, he's also taken an extra touch a couple of times when it was on the evidence of some of his finishing, which has been first rate. It's like, well, back yourself, because, you know, we'd back you.
And if the keeper saves it or whatever, it's like you've earned the right at this point in the season to get out your feet and have a crack. But it was Olsen who sort of was the standout player really in the first half. He made a couple of smart saves and generally I thought did reasonably well. Obviously, Cash had to come on for Rodgers, which completely, I mean, it was a bit of a fiddly tactical thing this for Villa, wasn't it? Because rather than sort of going like for like, he brought Cash on to play on the right-hand side of midfield and then moved Bailey from the right to the left, Diaby as a 10. So it was like a complete reshuffle. We just fiddled a little bit too much, I thought.
We just haven't got anybody further up the pitch to put on. I mean, unless you went early with Duran there, which could have been, maybe it was just a little bit too early. I think if that Rodgers injury had happened, let's say after Emery had watched 40, 50 minutes of this game, then he might have just done a direct swap with Duran and, you know, gone a bit more 4-2-ish.
But I think he'd have been probably quite content at the break. Villa looked like they were playing a very, very sort of laboured style, just trying to get through the game, manage it, knowing that maybe a draw would, you know, be fairly, you know, fairly content with a point from this one.
Yeah, at half time, I was thinking, hopefully this is just one of those games where we decided, right, let's just conserve our energy first half. Let's, you know, just nick it in the second half and get out there. But as the second half wore on, you were starting to think, well, actually, a point's not so bad. 8 points above Spurs before they play at Anfield. If they don't win that, then they have to 100% beat Manchester City, you know, before they even think about Burnley and Sheffield United. You just assume they potentially would win those games, and then Manchester City would be a win at the moment. If they could hammer, you know, if you're talking mathematically, they could hammer Sheffield United and Burnley, and a draw against Manchester City would be enough. But a point here, you're looking at half time, midway through half time, you're thinking, yeah, a point would be, because this has been dog shit, and take a point and get on with Athens.
And then after the break,
Brighton scored.
Yeah. Villa actually had a spell probably just around the time they're usually rubbish, around the sort of 50 to 65 minutes mark. Cash hit one wide, it was a decent long effort, but Villa were starting to sort of be more proactive in the final third. But as soon as Brighton scored what we thought was a goal, Gross put the ball in the net. Villa weren't really in the game after that.
Do you think it was offside? I mean, well, obviously VAR, but it was tight.
I didn't think it was offside in first view, and I thought anybody in the box should be behind the ball, or else, you know, that's the first thing you should learn as a professional footballer, is be behind the ball, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
And when you seen the angle, you were like, oh, he's offside, thank goodness. But 5 minutes later, we're still wondering, is he offside or not?
5 minutes later and a little bit more, McGinn has the ball in the net. I mean, that it was pretty much luck how the ball falls at his feet, ultimately.
Shamish, and then
he
took
it away. Good finish, very composed. I knew it was offside as he was stroking it, and I think he had a half an inkling as well, didn't he? Or certainly some of his teammates did.
Muted celebrations, you would say.
Yeah.
But nobody celebrates anymore.
But the thing was, Villa were really, they could get it into the final third, no problem, but there was just something missing, wasn't there? There was a lack of
intent.
Yeah, real intent.
A lack of actually, you know, having a go. I mean, we've said it before, I mean, they're just getting into those final positions and they're pissing about. I mean, you have Watkins and Dean out in the left in one stage, and, you know, Dean's the crosser. If there's one thing that you know Luca Dean does in the team, he's a great crosser of the ball. Yeah. But Watkins holds on to it and he's the one that crosses, and then you're looking in the middle going, no, nobody there, because Duran hadn't came on yet. Yeah. And you're just going like, what's the point? I mean, just, you know, a bit of intellect, you know, hold it up a bit more, do something, because that was the main difference between Villa and Brighton. They were both getting to the final third the same way, but Brighton were either putting it into the box straight away or running at the Villa players or having shots.
But let's fast forward to it. Let's get this out of the way. Penalty, what are you thinking? I mean, you give that, don't you? Surely. It's soft, but...
On first viewing, you give it. On reverse angle, it's never a penalty. No chance. I only looked at it again properly, you know, the next day. But on first viewing, I thought Konsa had stepped across him and took his two legs. When you look at it again, Konsa steps across, but his leg doesn't actually make contact with him. And the guy just flicks his two heels up and goes down.
Chris, can you verify this?
There's a tiny bit of contact, not enough for him to go down. His standing leg is then balanced and he decides to go over, but unfortunately that's going to get given. And I think if it's at the other end and we say that's a penalty all day long, it's soft as shit, but then I think ours would have been as well.
Good save by Olsen.
Oh, he's so unlucky, isn't he? Jesus Christ, the guy can't buy a break.
But beautifully set up for Pedro.
couldn't have put it in a better place, could he, really, unfortunately? So, yeah, it's really unlucky. He does so well to
even
get
put
down.
Put it there in slow motion as well.
Yeah, right, comes right into the middle, almost to the middle of the 6 yard box in the air. I mean, well, when Olsen gets up, and he does get up to try and save it again, you're just like,
just enough, right, where's just in slow motion, just to give Villa fans enough time to go, no. but when that goes in, you think that's it, game over, because we haven't done shit in this. We've just been fannying around.
Yep, that's exactly it. I mean, the only thing I would say on the two penalty shouts is neither of them are penalties, so don't give either or give both. That's just all you're asking, because they're just exactly the same scenarios.
Yeah, but we're not going to niddly pick through these things, because ultimately the performance wasn't good enough. I mean, to have one shot on goal, two shots in the whole game, which is as low, the last time we had that lower a number, it was, you know, back in the dark ages when we got relegated. I don't mean dark ages as in a long time ago. I mean, when we got relegated and we were awful, 2016.
I mean, you want to get that performance out of the way before, you know, the week to come.
But
jeez,
it's not a very good, when you've got to get at least two goals in Athens, and you've actually only had one shot on target in the game before, it's like, oh dear. Although it doesn't, I mean, we could have peppered them, bombarded them and had 20 chances, but actually I'd rather have that than just one. But who knows, they may be a little bit of, at least in the player's mind, regardless of what Emery's saying publicly, or because we have played within ourselves in game before, almost like we are resting.
Yeah.
And then you get a better performance in the next game. We shall see. Maybe this is it. Maybe we've seen the last of this season's good offerings. We'll know soon enough in Athens, because another limp performance like this one in Athens and we'll be out, but we'll be out comfortably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to sound a bit like a Brendan Rodgers here, but I mean, was it Wayne Gretzky? He said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Villa just didn't take any shots in that game. It was just weird. They're in the positions to do it. This is what I don't get. They're in the positions to do it, and it's either a floated ball in or just worked round again and just worked about in the final third until they lose the ball.
It's strange, because it is Jekyll and Hyde comparison to what they can do, and it's the same personnel. So whether it's fatigue, whether it's a bit of complacency in the league, no, knowing that this is pretty much done and dusted. I mean, we didn't have to wait long until Liverpool slaughtered Spurs in the early stages before they, you know, let them score a couple of consolation goals as they won 4-2. So we actually did gain a goal in terms of goal difference. And obviously another game slipped away from Spurs. So it's so close, the Champions League, but
it's not done yet.
Liverpool come to town. Liverpool looked like they would beat us if they played the same way they did against Spurs and we replicate what we did against Brighton or Olympiacos for that matter. So that's a dangerous game. Then you could be, it could still be mathematically on come the last day of the season.
You don't want that.
Because Palace are looking good at the minute.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they've got like a lot more energy than we have.
And they're playing like a team with nothing to play for, but in the negative sense, they're playing like a team who are just relaxed and like, yeah, we're just going to play some nice football here. And
you always get a couple of those at the end of the season that just start beating everybody.
And they're setting themselves up for next season.
Yeah. The question is, are we? Anyway, Fantasy Premier League player of the game.
It was the very unlucky Rob Nelson with 12 points.
Shame on it, he had a good game.
Yeah,
he surprised me. Yeah,
he surprised me.
And it sums up where Villa are at. That, you know, with the way we play and the way we approach games normally, when your goalie is the best player, it's not a good look for a team that's built around control, is it really?
No. Any stats of the game? Main stats of the game? It's got to be the amount of shots we had, really.
Lack thereof.
Before we go on to Media Muppets, a big shout out to all of my Old Man Said members for supporting us through this season. If you become a My Old Man Said member, you get extra shows, ad-free shows, as this show should be. Also, membership of Match Club and access to Match Club sessions that take place on away games. There's a nerve-fraying one going to be happening this Thursday, that's for sure. Me and Chris aren't going to Athens for the semi. We'll be there at the final if we get there, but decided against the double trip to Athens. So join us in Match Club on Thursday night if you already are a member. There'll be some extra shows coming your way as well to give you some insights into what's happening behind the scenes of Aston Villa. Big thanks to some people that I probably didn't give a shout out over the last week or so. New members, Scott Hessler, Reese Marsh, Martin Krutz, I think is how you pronounce it, John Barber and Stephen Robertson. Big thank you to you guys for joining us. You can also become an annual member. By becoming an annual member, you do get 10% off, which is just over a month and a bit free. So please do go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the membership link for more details there. Right, Media Muppets. Phil, what's in the trough?
Well, we can't let the occasion pass without the season-long efforts of Birmingham City's social media team.
We haven't even mentioned they've got relegated.
No, we haven't. That's because how little attention I pay to them myself, to be honest.
Same here.
You shared a screenshot, a screen grab of their X or Twitter page when it goes Birmingham on the rise again.
Yeah, that was their tagline for the whole season, on the rise again. And obviously I got it out there, and it wasn't long until after it spread around a bit that little tagline soon disappeared when they realized the errors of their way.
Yeah, but they have achieved one of their aims, which was to be, you know, go stateside, go get a big market in the US, because they got a mention on the roast of Tom Brady.
Yeah, Blues fans love that, actually. They go, oh, at least there's no such thing as bad PR.
What the fucking is? And they've been their own worst enemies.
I'm a Jets fan for my sins, and I can't believe the revenge I'm getting against Tom Brady. I mean, even Bill Belichick, the ex-Pats manager, the Patriots, who used to slap the Jets around for many a year, and because they were in the same division as us, the AFC East, I don't know if it should blame them on stunting the Jets' progress. Normally the Jets self-implode, but the fact that Brady's getting roasted by Belichick on TV, and Brady's had his immortality and invincibles. I mean, I'm surprised Tom Brady didn't trademark invincibles. Old Jens got there before him, but he's just having his godlike status stripped away. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's been a story since all season. They've just shot themselves in the foot every chance they've got. I mean, when they brought Wayne Rooney in to replace John Eustace, who had them sitting pretty in the playoffs, I mean, you're just going like, oh, that's not going to end well.
Yeah, it's a good example, wasn't it? It happens when a football club suddenly gets an ego where they go, oh, we've got this decent manager who's doing a good job, but he's just not, the name's not big enough. And it's like, well, fuck the name. It's like, what about what he's achieving? don't forget to mention that he actually kept Blackburn Rovers up on the last day as well.
Yeah, at their expense. And then all this talk about their 60,000 stadium that's been floating about while they've been slipping further and further down the league. It's like, well, we'll keep that in wraps. You know, last day survival, then announce the big stadium plans and everything else. So it's just, I mean, no club's social media is without moments of cringe. I mean, I would even take Villas in that sometimes you just wish they would know to say nothing, shut up. But I mean, it just looks as if relegation never crossed their minds all season. Yeah. And it's crossed everybody else's minds. You're in the shit here.
Down they go. On the drop up, again.
Lads. Yeah, keep right on.
Meanwhile, the Baggies are in the playoffs. Put a little vote out. 44-45% of about 2,500 polled who answered the poll. 45-44% said they wanted the Baggies out of all the playoff teams. I think that's so you create that wonderful situation where you've got three West Midlands teams in the Premier League, Wolves, Baggies, Villa, and then Birmingham are in League One. Anyway, enough of that. We've got bigger fish to fry. We've still got to confirm Champions League football for next season. And we've got to go to Athens to somehow dig ourselves out of a bit of a hole. Until then, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.